Welcome to the O Woman Podcast, where we discuss, oh, so many things about women's sexuality, bodies, thoughts, and lives. We'll talk about everything from our relationships to our orgasms to our children and our ovaries. And we'll share outstanding experiences and ordinary ones. I'm Emma, and a big open welcome to you. Thank you for joining me again today for episode 15 of the O Woman Podcast. Today's topic is long-distance relationships, keeping them fresh. So, as I've mentioned before in previous episodes, Jason and I spent about a year of our lives together. The beginning of our relationship was spent long-distance, and about a year of it was spent long-distance. So, it was a big roller coaster. It was really difficult. It was completely worth it, but I wanted to talk a little bit about some things that we did when we weren't together to keep our sexual and emotional relationship intact. Now, we had a whirlwind of a relationship at first because we met in another country and we were just around each other for about 3 weeks, about a week and a half of which was the really intense beginnings of the emotional stuff where we realized we did like each other, in fact. And then after that, we were separated. He was in Florida and I was in North Carolina. We were both going to school. So there was a pretty big limitation on when we were able to see each other. We'd see each other sometimes, I guess most of the time, it was every 2 weeks. For a while, I think we were doing once a month and we realized, oh my God, this is a disaster. We can't do that. So luckily, we could trade off and travel to see each other. Originally, we were flying to each other, but that was during one calendar year. And as soon as January came around, the airplane prices went way higher. It was extreme. And so we couldn't afford plane tickets anymore. And we were thinking, this is horrible. What do we do? And our one solution really was to take the Amtrak train, which meant we would take, you know, a 14 or 15 hour train ride over a long weekend to see each other and take it overnight and sleep on the train and do some homework on the train and try to rest and then see each other and take the train back. And that was one semester. So one semester of our relationship together was through flying. How we get to see each other was through flying. And the other one was through traveling on a train. Now, you think about it now, and it seems like, oh, that's ridiculous. There's no way they could have done that. That seems so hard. Like, I look back, and I think, we did that? It doesn't seem possible, because we're so used to being with each other. But we did it, because our relationship was worth it to us, and seeing each other was worth it. And the really hard thing about how us being long distance was the fact that we were long distance in the beginning of our relationship, right when everything is all hot and heavy and you're really getting to learn more about each other sexually. We didn't miss out on that, but we could have if we hadn't have been really diligent about keeping the fresh spark in our relationship alive, even though we weren't with each other. Now, of course, when you see each other again after a break, everything is great and exciting. I mean, usually for me at first, I'm like, who are you? Do I know you? Like, it's a little weird at first, especially the first few times seeing each other again. But beyond that, you feel just so happy to see each other and grateful that sex is a lot more open and connected and you're more free and you have sex a lot more often. And so that was pretty much fine. There's a couple things I do want to talk about that had to do with first seeing each other the first few times and how, you know, because we didn't know each other that well, how I felt kind of like, oh wow, do I actually know you? And then it made me feel a little bit closed off sexually. And of course I opened back up over time, but besides the first few encounters, our sexual relationships were, they were pretty good. They were great when we were together. There was really never any problems, or any issues feeling like we wanted to be with each other and have sex with each other. But the problem was keeping our spark alive when we weren't together, which was the majority of the time. Definitely well over half of the time we weren't together. So the first method of our communication when we weren't together was through the phone. We did some emailing, but the first real method of communication that we actually spent time being a part of and felt like we could connect with each other was, of course, through the phone. So we talked on the phone a lot. And if you know Jason, which you don't, I'll tell you that he is not someone that talks on the phone. But we talked on the phone a lot, and so we laid some groundwork for getting to know each other about our lives because we didn't have that much of a chance in the 3 weeks we knew each other. So we talked a lot about our families, what we love, what we don't love, our desires, our wishes, what we really want to do with ourselves in general in our life. And then at a certain point, we just started having phone sex, which I highly recommend. Now, I had never had phone sex before having phone sex with Jason. And when you first start doing it, you feel like the biggest idiot on the planet. You feel like, this is super weird. But after you do it for like 3 minutes, you're like, man, this is fun. I'm getting in the zone. This is exciting. So, if I remember correctly, I was the only one that ever did the sexual narrating. And that became fun for me. Actually, I think Jason did it one time, but I was usually the sexual narrator, which I liked the best. And at first it was really hard for me to slow myself down because I'm a fast talker and I'm energetic. And I wanted to try to make it like sultry and sexy. And I feel like I was successful. And the best thing about doing phone sex is because sometimes I feel like in the beginning of a relationship, when you're together with your sexual partner, you might not be as inclined to make as many noises or something at first because you're still getting used to them and they're still getting used to hearing your sexual noises. But because it was on the phone, that was our only real communication about if Jason was turned on or not. So he was making enough noises for me to be able to tell, hey, he's into this. And I mean, it was a big extravaganza. We did a long time, you know, a lot of phone sex. It took a good bit of time for me to finish my story because I just would get off on these sexual tangents and it was great. And later he would tell me, he was like, there was a part in one of the stories where I was like, I had my hand on a cold glass at a restaurant. I think the sexual fantasy was that I was giving him a hand job at a restaurant. I don't know why that was one, but it just happened and it worked. And part of it was that I had my hand on my cold glass on the table and then I used that cold hand to start to touch him. And he said that it was cold outside his window or chilly that morning. And so he was able to put his hand on his window because he was laying in his bed and then actually touch himself with the cold hands, which so it felt like it was the, you know, the scene. And so that was a big fun event for us. That was our first way to keep things fresh when we were not together. Another thing that we would do is we would send sexy emails to each other. I would particularly do that. I would send like a one-line email because I knew he'd get it like in the middle of the day when he was in class or something like that. And I knew that it would kind of spark him up for the whole day. And then when we got to talk later that night, maybe we would have phone sex or maybe it would just be a really open time to have good conversations. And because also too, you know, when you send a sexual email like that, you know that he's going to think about it all day. Which is, you know, kind of what you want, right? You don't get to see each other. So you want him to think of you, and I mean, chances are he's thinking of you anyway. But you want him to think of you, and you want him to think of you in a sexual way. And to be reminded of you guys together in that way. Because that's such an important part of your relationship that you can't tap into at that time because you're not together. Another thing that we did was when we would visit each other, I would bring my lingerie with me. Which seems like a very obvious blah blah kind of thing. But the really good thing about that is because you're not always together, he's going to get like a mental picture of what you look like in your lingerie. And you can, when you're not together, you can describe what you're wearing to him. Or, because you can describe your regular clothes to him, but it's really nice to describe what underwear you're wearing, what bra you're wearing, exactly what you're doing to him. And one time when we were together, we bought lingerie together. So that I would keep some lingerie at his place and I would keep some at my place. So we always had lingerie so we didn't have to bring it back and forth all the time. And then he's able to have the lingerie there with him and so he can look at it if he wants to. He can realize that it's in his closet and that I'll be putting it on when I'm coming to visit again. And he can even smell it, which in previous episodes we've talked about how smell is so important to the sexual memory and to a relationship, all the pheromones going on in there. I don't know if he ever did, I'll have to ask him, but I wager that he did, because he's such a smelling kind of person. Like I said, his sense of smell isn't that great, and so he's really into deeply smelling things, so he can really get the gist of what they smell like. The other huge thing that we did that probably kept our relationship going during certain times when things were a little harder, we hadn't seen each other as often, was talking on Skype. And I'm not really, like, that into technology. I mean, I'll use it, and I'm grateful for it in certain circumstances, but I'm not the kind of person that's constantly sending text messages or updating statuses on Twitter and Facebook and things like that. But Skype was a fantastic resource for multiple reasons. The first reason is because you get to see each other at least to some degree, and you get to talk to some degree face-to-face, and so you don't have to hold the phone up to your ear. You can actually see each other smile, which you can take that for granted when you're together all the time, but when you're apart, you do not take their smile for granted. That is such a special thing. You don't get to see it that often. And you can hear their smile in their voice, usually when they're on the phone. But someone's smile, it's just the best thing you can see. And so that was great. Also, because it was really difficult for us to talk at a certain point in our semesters or in school, because our last semester was really busy and the semester before was pretty busy too, that all of our lives would pretty much be talking to each other and doing homework, and we're like, how can we make this actually sync up and be better? Because it's not that we want to talk to each other all the time, it's that we want to be with each other, but we can't. We just want to sit with each other. So Skype was great for that, because we could put on Skype and do work while being on Skype, and then just kind of ignore each other or say something and say, oh, I forgot to tell you the story, blah, 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 blah. It was as if we were actually together in as best a way as possible. And I was impressed by how helpful it really was. I thought, okay, we'll do this on Skype and it will seem kind of like fake and weird. But I got used to it pretty quickly, and I'm so grateful to it. I'm just so grateful. And luckily, both of us had two computers. We each had our larger laptop that we'd had forever, and then these little teeny, you know, kind of notebook computers that we use for traveling when we visit each other. And so it was great because we could put Skype on one computer and we could do our work on the other one. And I mean, it was probably a relationship saver, honestly, because it would have been so frustrating and so hard to keep the relationship going by putting enough time into having conversations and talking to each other and also doing our work and also sleeping and also doing other things we had to do in our life. It would have been impossible to manage that time. But Skype made it possible because we could multitask. And then the other huge way Skype made keeping our life and our relationship fresh, like sexually, was having Skype sex. It was the best thing in the world. Let me explain. It's pretty obvious, I think, if you could guess what I'm saying here. But, of course, Skype has, you know, a smallish screen, and it doesn't get your whole body or anything like that. But Jason and I would undress, like, for the camera, for each other. All the while, I'm thinking, I'm sure someone could hack into my Skype account and see me naked. But are they really going to? I don't think so. I'm just going to go for it. And it never happens. Or that I know of, it never happens. So we would undress for each other. We would tease each other. We would, you know, in the middle of homework, I would flash him. I'd be like, here's the boobs. And I'd flash him. And that would be like, whoa, jolt of energy. Exciting. It's keeping me going. It also is making me think about you and having sex. Even though it can't happen, we could do Skype sex. So what we would do is we would undress ourselves and we would masturbate together, but able to see each other. Which, at first I thought, this is going to be super weird. But it was not. It was really hot. I don't know, something about, because I would mostly just be able to see Jason's face and, like, upper body. I couldn't really see, like, his whole body, or it was the weirdest, smallest screen ever. But I would be able to see his whole body, and because he's masturbating, I'm able to see him kind of moving. And I don't know why, but that was just such a hot thing to see for some reason. It really was, which is a surprise to me. I didn't think that would be that exciting for me. And it was also nice, too, because you're not near each other, you can't touch each other, you start to give each other more directions. So you end up kind of bossing each other around a little bit, which I also have never really been such a fan of, but in my relationship with Jason, I really have. So I could say, oh, show me this. Or he could say, can you lean over and show me this? Or he would ask, can you bend over for me? You know, and I would do that, and then we would lay down and do our thing. And it wasn't, of course, the best option. The best option would have been to have always been together. But it was such a great option in compared to what we had to work with. And it honestly kept our relationship going. I mean, other things did too, of course, just the bond that we have. But it allowed us to have a release that was also, to some degree, we were connected to each other, which when you're masturbating by yourself, even if you're thinking of the other person, it still isn't that connected of an experience. And so we were able to do it, but do it thinking of each other and looking at each other, at least to some degree. I mean, we could never make eye contact and we could never touch each other, but we could see each other's faces and we could think of each other. And that was such a valuable thing to me. I also wanted to touch on a couple things about our sexual relationship that changed or that was different and unexpected when we would see each other after having been apart for a while. Now, this only really happened the first month or maybe 2 months of visiting each other. And then at a certain point, we got into a rhythm and it was fine. But the first little while of visiting each other, there were a couple things that were weird or hard to get used to that I'll elaborate more on another time, but I want to like at least mention them today. So the first big thing was the fact that Jason had roommates, because I had not had a roommate in a long time, and I'd only ever had one roommate with bedrooms that were like very far away from my own bedroom. Granted, I didn't have a door on my bedroom in my house, but that was only after I didn't have roommates, so. But Jason had two roommates, and one of their bedrooms was, their door was like right across from his door, kind of at the end of the hallway. And I mean, I really liked his roommates, they were good people, but they were also still dudes that were young, because Jason's 4 years younger than me, so they were still college dudes who were nice. But I'm thinking, are they listening to us? Like, not on purpose, but can they hear us? And I feel like so uncomfortable with that. It's freaking me out a little bit. So I had issues like feeling like sexually open and turned on and like able to really be in the moment the first few times, because knowing that he had roommates that like theoretically could be like, you know, sitting in the living room below and hearing us. I didn't know what the walls and the floors were like, or sitting in the bedroom across the hall and hearing us. And I'd always hear them coming down the hallway back and forth a bunch, and it made me feel extra nervous because it's not like they were just in their bedroom. They're walking them down the hallway a bunch. And the bathroom that we shared with one of the roommates was adjacent to Jason's bedroom, and so his other roommate had to walk past to get to the bathroom, and you can hear him in there flushing the toilet. And I'm just thinking, I'm being listened to from all sides. It's like a spying, it's a war on women having sex. They're listening to me all the time. I mean, and I knew that wasn't it. But it made me feel really uncomfortable, and I couldn't just let loose and be myself. But I didn't recognize that that was the problem until after, like, maybe the second visit there. And then I was like, I'm not this closed off sexually. I'm not this preoccupied sexually and unable to get into a position that I find comfortable. I'm not this, worried about being too hot or too cold, or my foot's itching, or this is a weird position. Like, I'm more in the moment. So why am I so distracted? And I thought about it, and I was like, it has got to be because of his roommates. And so we made sure that no one was in the house, like on purpose, because I told him about it. I was like, I think this is an issue. And we cut on music of our own. And both of those things together made a huge difference. And then eventually we got to where, even if someone was in the house, us having music on felt like enough. And so it was perfectly fine. I didn't feel anymore like they were listening to everything that was happening. And that only happened the few trips that it did happen, because I wasn't there enough to just become used to it after a few days. I had to get used to it a little bit and then leave and come back to my house. And then when I went back to visit again, be reminded all over again of how less private things were than in my own house, because the last time we'd visited, you know, together. He and I were at my house together, not at his house together. And so it was just hard to get used to kind of each time again. And so at a certain point, though, I got used to it just fine. It was okay. But then the other thing I want to talk about that has to do with when you show up after you haven't seen each other for a little while. In the beginning, for me, I would think, you look so different. Even though he didn't look different at all, really. I just, through remembering him and not being with him, or maybe through Skype or something like that, he becomes sort of a different person just for a little while, because my memory of a person is what they're like when I'm with them, and it's what they look like and smell like and feel like. And if you can't get those experiences, then you're kind of going to start to change your memory of them a little bit. And this is in the beginning when I wasn't fully, you know, aware of who he was and the kind of person he was, where I could just remember him, you know, whenever without seeing him for a while. But at first we would see each other and I would think, hi, and he would be so excited to see me. And I'd be excited to see him, but he would be so excited and open and want to kiss me and hug me, and I would want to kiss him and hug him too, but I'm thinking, do I know this person? I mean, and I knew I did, but it was just such a weird experience to come back together again after getting used to being by yourself in your own little life, even though it wasn't fun. And kind of I'd have to get to know him again for like the first day. And after like our first or second visit, I told him that. I was like, I sort of have to get to know you again for the first day. So I never really felt comfortable having sex the first day, because I wasn't fully reminded of who he was. And so it was a little like, I'm having sex with a stranger. This doesn't feel quite in sync. And at first I think he was really confused about the situation. And then once I explained it, he was like, okay. So our first days together had a lot more to do with bonding and just talking and sitting with each other, and not so much like immediately like, let's have sex, because that was his original inclination, was, you're here, I love you, let's have sex. I don't think we were saying I love you at this point, but that was not working for me, because I was still like, I need to get used to you again. So that was something that if I had ignored the fact that I needed to get comfortable with him again and just had sex, just because, it would have established sort of a weird history of having sex when we weren't feeling very connected with each other. Maybe he was feeling connected to me, but I wasn't feeling connected to him. And so I'm grateful, and I'm grateful for his response to that too, that I said, okay, this is a little bit like fresh and strange, so I would like to talk and get to know you and sit with you and hug you and smell you for me to get in the mood. And he was understanding about it. And then chances are that night we would have sex, but that day when I flew in, I wouldn't want to yet. I would want to wait before we did it. So another thing that you may be wondering about with long distance relationships is how exactly you deal with paying for them, because clearly you're spending money to visit each other. And you want to start off on an equal foot. Most people do. And Jason and I did. And it was, at first we didn't know exactly how to handle it. So I just want to tell you our journey of figuring out how best to deal with paying for visiting each other. And then this was also an extension of feeling like we were becoming a team, because as our relationship changed a little bit, so too did our ideas of how to pay for our trips and how to pay to see each other. So what we started off with was, whoever went on the first trip, I think I went to see him first, I would pay for my ticket, and then he would pay for all things that we did in town, so that I wouldn't have to worry about like carrying around my money all the time and stuff. So he would pay if we went out to dinner, he would pay if we went to a movie, he would pay if we bought groceries or whatever. And then it would flip-flop when he came to visit me. So he would pay for his ticket up there, and I would pay for all the stuff when we were in town. And that, I mean, I think we were both happy enough with that. Like, we thought it was fair enough. But the only problem is, it was still somewhat inconvenient to have these different accounts kind of going, like, these different tallies in our heads and think, okay, they got the ticket, this time I'm getting this. And then also, because we were watching our money and thinking, was this kind of even? Do we feel like this is even? And after doing that for, like, really honestly just a little while, after we were together for just a few months, I think we just had a really good feeling about each other. We decided we wanted to open a joint account, which a lot of people think is super risky. Some people that are married don't even have joint accounts. Jason and I, we just dove right in. That's just the way our personalities are, and that's our relationship just fits that way. So we decided we wanted to open a joint account, and every month or whenever we decided we need more money in there to buy a ticket for each other or something like that, we would both put the same amount in. So we'd be like, okay, each of us needs to add $1,000 to the joint account so we can pay for this ticket for you and pay for all this other stuff when we see each other. And that honestly worked out the best of all. And one of the reasons why it worked out really well too was because when we merged our lives fully, when he moved up to live with me in North Carolina and we were sure that we were going to be together, it made that so much smoother, all of that transition and stuff, so that during the moving process, we would just have to buy stuff from that account. We don't have to think, we're about to merge lives. Let's here split this and split that. We just use that account. And then it also honestly catapulted us into merging lives too, because even some people that live together obviously don't have joint accounts. They still, somebody pays for this and the other person pays for this. And we just, it was not fun for us to do that. That was more of a work than having everything mixed together was, because I wasn't scared of the way he would treat my money or if what would happen if we broke up, what would he do with it? And he wasn't scared of that on my end either. I think part of it was because we just knew this was it. We were going to be together and might as well just get it going. But it was actually Jason's idea to start the joint account. And it, when he first mentioned it, I remember thinking, wow, this is really soon. Makes me a little bit nervous, but I think it's a great idea. Like, I had a momentary thought, like, whoa, that's a big deal. And then it just faded, and I thought, perfect, perfect idea. And it was weird to tell people, like, a few months into our relationship, that we had a joint account. Because I think some people were like, oh, okay. Because I got questions about, oh, how do you pay for this and that, and how does that work? Because people were curious. So it was funny to say, oh, well, we have a joint account, and it was so early on in the relationship, people were like, oh, all right, like, are you sure that's a good plan? But guess what, guys? It turned out to be a good plan. We're married. Things are great. We own a house. We own multiple cars together. I mean, we have things together, and we always will. So that's just a little information. That's a little bit of history about our long-distance relationship and a couple ideas for keeping your long-distance relationship fresh sexually. So once again, just a reminder, I'm going to say phone sex. I'm going to say lingerie teasers. So having lingerie in both places, buying lingerie together, talking about what you're wearing, wearing it actually, and then talking about what you're wearing. And of course, the big one, which I said, was Skype sex. It seems like such a weird thing, but it is the best. I promise you, long distance people, it is fantastic. Thank you again for listening to me today for the O Woman Podcast. Remember to check out our page on Facebook, O Woman Podcast. Like us on Facebook. And also remember, leave a comment on the website, owomanpodcast.com. If you have any questions or comments, or you want to propose a topic for the episodes, I would love that. And please email me if you have any questions, comments, or any of those things. If you don't want your question to be public, go ahead and email me, emma@owomanpodcast.com. Thank you once again for listening. Love talking to you. I will talk to you tomorrow. Bye.